The Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, hard by the state line, is a place unlike any other. It is, as the name implies, a meeting place, an overlap zone between the Cascade Mountains and the Siskiyous. We're learning a lot more about the monument since it was created by President Clinton in the 1990s. Our next guests are geology students at the University of Oregon, and they've spent some time looking at the various features of the Cascade Siskiyou. Megan Mortimer Lamb and Spencer Jones are among the people making presentations Thursday evening in Ashland at a community research forum about the monument. Megan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
And Spencer, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Megan, give us an overview of the monument, if you would, where it is, how big it is, why it exists.
Sure. It's a reserve, a biome reserve. It's about 62,000 acres, and it's just west of Ashland. It covers an area roughly the Green Springs area.
East of Ashland, then?
Yeah, east of Ashland.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, Spencer, is it really something of a bridge between mountain ranges?
Yeah. No, it's incredible. When you get up there, looking out in the field, it's wherever you look, to your left or your right, it's shield volcanoes, and then off in the distance, we have stratovolcanoes. So it's an incredible land up there.
Describe those volcano types, if you would, to us, so we know a little more about them.
Yeah, so we have our shield volcanoes, which have a different lava type where the flows, we don't have those explosive eruptions. We have more oozy lava, and so we get a lot of debris flows and breccias. Whereas stratovolcanoes is when you're driving past Mount St. Helens, or Mount St. Helens, for instance, or Mount Shasta, large eruptions and much more catastrophic.
All right. So the Cascades are where all the volcanic activity. Is there any volcanic element to the Siskiyous?
Yeah. So the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, it's incredible because the entire land is differentiated between western lava flows and high cascade lava flows. And so the Cascade Range is broken into two, the western lava flows, which is much older, and then we have the much younger lava flows, which is the high cascade, and the high cascade overflew the western lava flows. So when we were out in the field, we were mapping boundaries of these two different lava flows, and they both have both very different characteristics, so that's what we're identifying out in the field.
So for example, Megan, when we talk about the geology and the parts where there, you know, it's a little Cascade and a little Siskiyou, does Soda Mountain or Pilot Rock or any of the major features of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument bear similarities to both ranges?
Sure. I mean, Pilot Rock is a stock. It's a volcanic stock. So that's going to be what Spencer was talking about with shield volcanoes. That's going to be less explosive lava. And the Soda Mountain area is actually a lot of the areas that we worked. But we tended to be more in the creeks and in the boundary between the western and high. And so we were able to be very accustomed to those different lava types. And those two, as tourist destinations, are very very well known in the monument. And, yes, they do have a lot of significance.
I understand you got funding for your research from the Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou. To do what, though? What was the funding for?
We did field mapping, so as undergraduates here at the U of O, there's not a huge amount of internship opportunities and field work that we're able to do due to the fact that we are such such a large university. And we were able to meet an emeritus professor at SOU. His name is Jad Delura, and he was working at SOU for 33 years. His experience is unparalleled, and he took us on as field assistants, and we did some mapping in the monument, and the Friends provided the first grants that they have provided to student researchers, and we have benefited a large amount from their contributions.
Jad Delura, well known in the geological community in Southern Oregon, and he spent much time up in what is now the Cascade Siskiyou. He obviously predates it by a bit, working in the region.
Right. Yes. No. He knows it like the back of his hand. He's been mapping there for almost 20 years. Like you said, before the monument was itself established.
All right. I want to be fair to Jad Delura. I mean, he predates the actual naming of the monument. He's not older than the rocks. Okay?
No.
He's not applying that at all. All right. Megan Mortimer Lamb and Spencer Jones are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. Geology students at the University of Oregon. They have explored the geology of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument on a grant from the Friends of the Cascade-Siskiyou. They'll be presenting their findings as part of a community research forum 7 to 9 on Thursday at the Science Building at Southern Oregon University. In the auditorium, you can join us right here and now on the Jefferson Exchange with questions about the geological makeup of the monument. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Spencer, this does sound like a massive project. So how did you decide in advance, or was that decided for you, where to go and what to look for?
Yeah, so based off Jad's expertise, he had a section. The monument obviously is massive. And so we just worked in the Jenny Creek area. It's more of the top northeast section of the monument. And so we were just set looking in the set area. We had quadric maps, and so Jad totally set us in the direction of where he wanted us to work in the field, and then so we would accompany him out in the field. And it was a great learning experience for us. We out in the field, you know, we are always taught in class and lectures, and we don't really get that hands-on going in day out being an actual geologist. So Jad, we were able to do that with Jad for over a month. We went day in, day out into the field, also to lab, and he helped us learn all of his skills, so it was awesome.
What kind of tools did you bring up with you? What was a working day like up there, Spencer?
Yeah, so we would have Bruttons. We have our field notes, pencils, our maps. We had a GPS coordinate system, and so we would be mapping our contact boundaries frequently. We also had our rock hammers, hand lenses. So anytime we came out to a rock outcrop, we would use the Persuader, Jad's rock hammer, and identify get a fresh sample, look at the phenocrysts, and identify if it was Western or High Cascade, and then go from there and mark the boundary.
No rock can deny the will of the Persuader? Is that how
no.
it works? So do you have some exciting discoveries to share? Megan, I understand you found an igneous dike.
Oh, right. I found a dike on my second day in the field. We have a great presentation to share due to the fact that the monument itself is more of a biological reserve rather than a geological reserve. We're using our research and our mapping to kind of explain to laymen, if you will, how to spot different types of geology and how to kind of recognize them. So our project is mostly going to be presenting at the FRF Research Fund that you mentioned on Thursday. We're going to be presenting all of our data and all of our research to better describe the geology of the monument so people can go out there and appreciate it.
Don't leave us wondering, what is an igneous dike?
Oh, sorry. An igneous dike, it's just sort of like it's a high cascade dike. So it's a extrusive lava flow where lava enters a conduit, like a fracture, and is forced up into it and it tends to be in positive relief, which means that the ground around it weathers so that it just, by the end of it, it stands up like pilot rock, where you have a lot of dikes and other things that protrude out of the earth. So.
Is this sort of like some of the cascade features like Mount Thielson or Union Peak, where you end up with a lot of the softer stuff eroded and you end up with a volcanic core kind of still
yeah.
hanging out there?
Yeah, that's pretty common. That's mostly dependent on, like you said, the geology. So I can't compare it to any other monuments or mountains, as I've been deeply entrenched in the Cascades, this Siskiyou National Monument, for a summer here. And I'm actually from Ashland. I went to Ashland High School, so I've spent a lot of time revisiting my childhood and the areas that I've seen as a child.
Well, good to have you both here. Megan Mortimer Lamb and Spencer Jones are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the geology of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. Here's a call from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Exchange.
I am older than rocks.
There's one.
Okay. Unlike Grumpy John, though, I'm not older than dirt. So so in any event, I did have a couple of comments and questions, so I'll stay on for just a second.
Sure.
First of all, it seems to me, if I remember my geology, that area is really a jumbled up geological area. It's not really one consistent sort of feature, is it?
No, no, it's very complicated. It's made up of, like I said, mostly Western and High Cascades, but that is characterized by lava flows over thousands of years. The Western is much older, 55 to 22 million years old, and it's characterized by so many different lava flows, and identifying them all is that's basically all geochemical analysis. That's all very complicated chemical work.
So in 30 seconds, paint a picture of what happened to create it, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
30 seconds, okay.
You have a little more than that. Go ahead.
Okay, do you want me to answer it or no?
Yes, please, yeah.
Okay, Western Cascade volcanism started about, like I said, 55 million years ago, and it has a much higher silica content. So as Spencer said, it's made up of different types of lava and physiographic landforms. And then the High Cascades just came up right next to it, and it's different lava flows, and it's much higher in relief because of the stronger lava that it's made up of. Is that better? Is that a good?
Yeah, that's a good answer, yeah. Are there landslide possibilities that exist in the Cascade System National Monument that might be different from other parts of the region?
Spencer, do you want to ask?
Yeah. Yeah, so the Western, it's much more probable to erosion. And so since we have this High Cascade lava flows flowing over the Western, which is below, where we get these creeks cutting into the bedrock, once Western's exposed, we get much faster rates of erosion. And so while overlying it is the High Cascade, so the monument, like, for instance, Jenny Creek, it's we have these massive rock slides where the Western has eroded out below the High Cascade that's overlying, and then this is set to fail. And so there's these massive landslides, and you can always identify these on the creeks because wherever these massive rock slides occur, behind it obviously bucked up the creek, and then so behind these rock slides, we find a lot of swamps. Whereas when you don't find, if there's no rock slides around, it's most of the time the creeks, it's flowing much faster, and it's flowing over bedrock.
Huh. So I think I'm finally getting the picture here. That essentially you've got older volcanic activity, the Western stuff, and then the Cascade volcanic flows ended up on top of that.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. More or less.
All right. Do you have layers in some cases, or you got Western and then Cascade and then Western and Cascade?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it really depends on the type of lava. If you have an extrusive lava, so a runny lava, that can run over anything in its path. So we can have different layers juxtaposed. And really all we can do is, we can't drill holes or anything, so all we can do is really characterize the surface and map the surface, and that's what we did, try to do our best.
When you say you can't drill holes, is that a restriction on activity just because it's a monument? Or
oh, no. I mean, to be able
funding.
To... The monument is, like Spencer said, massive. And in order to get into these remote areas where we were mapping, we had to carry everything on our back. So by the end of the day, we were loaded down by at least 10 pounds of rock, just to scan samples.
Oh.
So I doubt that we were going to be able to carry a drill in of any.
I see the point now. Okay, yeah, so everything on the backpack. So was it just the two of you and Jad Delora, or were there any more people to the crew?
No, it was just the two of us. We got to know each other very well. but it was a lot of fun.
So, Spencer, where have you had a chance to travel elsewhere in the world to watch places where there is new lava? I mean, to get a better understanding of what you're seeing this is a cold case, very literally, you know. All this stuff happened a long time ago. But did you get a chance to explore volcanoes that are still active as part of your field work?
No, actually, I'm still a senior, and I haven't had much time. Studies have been so busy. So this was actually my first opportunity really to work in an area for a long period of time and fully understand what's going on in the region. So I definitely hope to, but I would really love to get out to the floodplain basalts and maybe out to Yellowstone. But I, as of right now, I'm still busy with schoolwork. So, but I hope upon the graduation, I'll be able to get out in the field a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Megan, how about you?
Nope, same story for me. After this graduation, we have to attend a field camp through the U of O, and that's 6 weeks. And so we'll be out in the Wallowas and Dillon, Montana, exploring lots of rocks, and although I don't think we'll see any lava, we'll definitely see a lot of volcanoes.
I have to wonder if there's ever a geology field test where they put you in a place and tell you absolutely nothing about it, and you have half an hour to figure out what you're looking at.
I think that'd be a cruel joke, but I feel like some of our professors would do that just to mess with us.
How does geology and the kind of stuff that you studied here in the Cascades-Siskiyou National Monument interface with other sciences, things like fire ecology, perhaps?
Well, it's very interesting because we're an integrated science, so we study. We don't necessarily study like forestation or secondary forestation after an event, but we definitely study chemistry and physics and calculus and have to really have a good science background. So once we were able to kind of master geology, we were able to look out at different types of sciences and make interpretations as well. So if you come to our presentation on Thursday at SOU, we can tell you all about the different vegetation types on the Western and High Cascades, why they're there, how they're forested, and how that interplays in the ecosystem.
I mean, because of the kinds of soils that are there from the geology?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, which raises the question whether the silviculturists and the fire ecology folks turn to you and say, well, we think these trees grow here because of this, and you can say, yep, they do.
Well, yeah, we can say, well, there's rocks under it, but we don't know which ones,
All right, so, I mean, given that we're talking 62,000 acres of monument here, how much of it were you able to cover in your summer excursion?
Spencer, I don't.
Oh, that's a tough question. We would go on day hikes, and we would, some days we'd walk only 6 miles because it'd be in such densely forested. I mean, we're backwood, and no, we're not following any trails. Mm-hmm. But then other days when it was, say, for instance, the Western, it's much more scarcely vegetated.
Oh, sure.
So we were able to cover a lot of ground.
Okay.
So we would go 10, 12 miles.
All right. Any poison oak outbreaks?
No poison oak outbreaks.
Okay, fortunately, that's good to hear. Spencer Jones and Megan Mortimer Lamb were geology students from the University of Oregon. They were brought in by a grant from the Friends of the Cascades-Siskiyou to do some exploration in the Cascades-Siskiyou National Monument. They'll present their findings Thursday evening at 7 at the Science Building on the Southern Oregon University campus in the auditorium. Megan and Spencer, good job. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.